Good morning. Happy Twixtmas. That's what I refer to this bit as, Twixtmas, probably because I eat a lot of Twixes over the Christmas period. But the less said about that, the better. I hope you had a great festive season. And this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. As 1 year comes to a close and 2019 fast approaches, we thought it would be really great to spend a little bit of time hearing from a couple of individuals in the church who are, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, very ordinary people. But this year, they have been walking a journey with an extraordinary God. In Luke 24, verses 13 to 35, there's this beautiful passage where a couple of disciples, they're walking a 7 mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're heading out to the village. And it says in verse 14 that they were talking with each other about everything that had happened regarding Jesus being crucified. They're intentionally talking and taking stock of what's gone before. And I wonder for us at the close of 2018 whether it's important for us too just to take that time with one another this morning to take stock of what's gone before this year, to intentionally talk through what's happened. But then in verses 15 and 16, Jesus joins them. And I love this because they don't know it's him. They don't recognize him. So they're walking and they're talking. And in this particular passage, actually, they're talking through their disappointment. They're talking through their disbelief. They're talking through their pain and their struggle. And then sidles up Jesus. And all of a sudden, he's walking and he's talking with them. And he's unpacking scripture in a way that they've never heard before. Fast forward to verses 30 and 31, and there's this incredible moment where Jesus breaks bread and he gives thanks and he gives it to them. And in that moment, they see that it's him. They suddenly understand that the guy that's been walking and talking with them in their disappointment, in their struggle, in their pain, in their questions is Jesus. And it says in verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Where do you recognize Jesus walking alongside you in your 2018? Where are the moments as you look back and as you reflect, whether they were mountaintop moments or whether they were valley moments or whether they were just mundane moments in between, and we all have many of those. Can you see the traces of Jesus journeying with you? Well, this morning we're going to chat to a couple of people for whom 2018 has been a significant year in very different ways. And for one, it's been the culmination of a promise long awaited. For another, it's been a year of stripping back, of God actually doing deep work internally before the breakthrough has come. And we're going to listen to both those journeys, and hopefully we'll see Jesus just sidling up alongside each of those individuals in their journey. And our prayer is that it will strengthen and challenge and encourage each one of us to know that he's been with us this year. He's been walking with us. And if we will allow him to, he wants to show us just where we need to see him even more fully. So may I, without further ado, invite our first beautiful interviewee, and that is Rachel Dybul. Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, lovely. Really, really lovely.
And for anyone who doesn't know you, Rachel, which is probably quite a few people looking out this morning, could you just tell us a bit about who you are?
Oh, who am I?
That's deep, isn't it?
Oh, it is, actually. I'm like, oh, that's a little bit scary. So I am a mum, a teacher, So I work with children who have special needs, and I train adults and the adults around the child to do their job, really.
Fantastic. Great answer. So, Rachel, I know that this year has been a particularly significant year for your family, and I wondered if you could tell us why.
Okay, it's a very long story, so I'm going to give you a snippet. So I'm sorry, and sorry for those that know it. So this year we have embarked, because this time last year we'd just been approved to adopt. I say we, it's me and my son, so I'm a single adopter. We got the all okay for looking at children, and it came to pass that along came a very fabulous young lady. So,
wow, isn't that amazing? So the danger with the snapshot is that that could make it sound like a very quick process. My next question is, how long has adoption been on your radar? Is this something you've always wanted to do, and why? What prompted that decision?
Okay, yeah. For some people, it's adoption you come to because of different life hurdles, shall we say, which can be a very painful journey. For me, adoption has always been on my radar because I'm adopted. So it's something I've always known. It was my favourite bedtime story that I used to ask my parents to tell me of how they got me. So it's always been a really, really positive thing. So it's always been part of my story. About in the future. Yes, because I'm adopted, I actually really wanted to have birth children because that was an important part of having a blood tie. But actually, for me, it was always going to be a bigger story. So it's been on my radar forever. However, along the road, thinking it was going to be a very traditional route to it, there were some hurdles, big, big hurdles, that meant actually those dreams got not just taken off the shelf or put on a back burner, but really locked away for very many years. So,
well, it's interesting you should say that, because I remember my sort of entry point into your journey, which was several years ago when we were sitting in Pret in town, yeah. And we were having a coffee or a hot chocolate together and we were chatting. And I remember you saying that you had this enormous dream tucked away in your heart, but that you felt that it was gathering dust on a shelf. And there were a number of reasons for that. And having sort of tracked your journey a little bit with you over the subsequent few years, I know that there have been incredible challenges. I know that there have been moments where you've wanted to give up.
Yep.
I also know that there have been moments of unprecedented breakthrough and every shade in between. I remember praying in the car with you when we were stuck in a traffic jam for a lot of hours.
Yes, it was great old M1.
It certainly was. And just having a little bit of the curtain open to see some of the ups and downs of the journey that you've been walking. So I wondered firstly if you could share some of the harder moments and then some of the breakthrough moments that have come along the way.
Okay, so generally, because I think quite a wise lady who might be sitting to my right said, actually, if the longer something takes to actually come to fruition, the likely it's going to have a bigger impact. And actually, that's been very, very true over this journey. It has been, we're talking probably more than a decade for actually God to reignite what he said to me many, many, many years ago. And I didn't take that well, actually, if I'm really, really, truly honest. When God, and I was being prayed for down here, but God and I just had a little moment, and he just went fostering an adoption. And I actually reacted and said, how dare you? Because it was so, so painful. So there's been a lot of journeying of getting my heart right with God for this journey. Because it wasn't actually what God's really showing me. It isn't actually just about us adopting a child, more than one child. It's actually about the impact that's having on people around us and things like that. So it's a much bigger thing, and I never saw that originally. And I think that's what God has. He's got that bigger picture aspect that we just don't see it, because we're so focused on what's hurting us, what's there right in front of us. And I think that's where it's been. So it has been more than a decade. It's probably a good 15 years, honestly.
Wow.
Which is a long time
to wait.
It is. And in that, being a single mum in a 2-bedroom house, you sort of go, I just don't know how. I just don't know how. And that was a lot of my prayer at the beginning, was absolutely okay when I'd finally accepted that this was what God had for me. Once I'd made that decision to say yes, it was like, but how? I cannot see a how. I just cannot see a how. So that was where I sat for quite a long time. And I will say I've got an amazing team around me. So if I can just put out massive wow. If you've got a dream that God's put in your heart and you can't yet see a breakthrough and you're not sure where to go, gather around you some very wise people. WhatsApp works wonders now today, because we didn't have that when we started. But cups of tea and my scones work quite well for gathering them. And we've met regularly, we pray, and they have continued in this journey to really support me and actually pick me up, hold me when it's tough. And there have been tough moments trying to sell a house. You think it's really, really easy, and theoretically it was, but actually I ended up having to call the police to come, and because I was being abused by the person who was trying to buy the house and all sorts of things, you just cannot fathom it. And when I had to ring the police, they actually went, sorry, is this domestic? I mean, no, this is just selling a house. So it's been incredible. And that at that point, I really just went, I'm done. I can't take that amount of abuse. It's been a really tough journey. And I think the enemy works subtly, but he'll find your Achilles heel and he'll use that in different aspects. So be prepared, put your armor on. If you're about to do a journey and you feel God's stretching you and taking you there, put your armor on daily. Don't think it's just a something glibly we say, but really do it. Because actually the enemy works in subtle ways, and sometimes we leave a door open and we don't shut it properly. And that's something significant as well. So yeah, it has been. There's loads. So
very topsy-turvy, yes, hasn't it?
Yep.
But you're in that house.
Yes,
and that
are.
Is a miracle.
Beyond
those of us who have been
miracle.
Praying, we know that's a miracle. Could you just share a few of the breakthrough moments where you've really seen God just bowl you over along the way?
The key breakthrough for actually moving into a new house and recognising that actually God can do this, there's lots of faith giant steps that I've walked in over my family's history as well. So I can stand on that and go, gosh, you did that, Lord. That's amazing. So I know he can do amazing things. But you then also have that moment where, but will you do it for me? Are you sure? And it really has been. But one of the key opening moments was actually that someone said, it's not about what you can do, it's about having people alongside you. And other people can, because finance is a massive thing in the south of England for houses. And I was like, I just can't make that. And God incredibly provided. So he provided my dream home, literally.
Wow.
Literally. To the point where they reduced the price so it became feasible. Still unreachable, but feasible. And then someone stepped into that gap, which was awesome. So that was one of the absolute highlights. It still scares me to death. Absolutely scares me to death as a single mummy. And, you know, having all of that responsibility. But God's got it. And that's really cool. So that's, I mean, amazing. Then we had the adoption process and the social workers. We'd really prayed about the social workers ahead of time and that they would be sympathetic to our family setup, our lifestyle, everything. And we have had, I've had two, and they have been the most beautiful people to walk me through this, and such wisdom in their journeys as well, so that if you sort of say, oh, I think this, and they'll go, I'm not so sure, I think this, and you go, okay, tell me why, and actually they've been absolutely spot on, and they've guided and just nudged me into the right places to the point where we are today, really. So those are probably big highlights.
That is amazing, isn't it? Totally amazing. So my next question is, what do you feel that you've gained along the process of this crazy 10 to 15 year faith journey? And I know it's still ongoing and we'll get to that in a moment. Where have your eyes been opened to see the traces and the fingerprint of Jesus?
every day I wake up in my home, and I'd still just am bowled over by that. So the fact that we're in there, we're comfortable, and all bills get paid is actually a miracle daily. So, you know, let's be real in the everyday bit of life. That is a Jesus moment every sown throughout. We've called the house Ahava, which means unconditional love. In Jewish, or Hebrew rather. And
what a great name.
It's awesome. And God gave me that right back at least 10 years ago, just out of the blue. And I was going, I don't even know what that means, but hey, he did. And things like that. So I think through that, my surname, I'm going to say my surname, Dival, and I just thought that came with the person I married. That was my, you know, yeah, happy to take it. That's fine. Not really that keen, but that'll do. sorry. I quite liked my old name. It was fine. And really struggled at the point of having to come to a point where, do I want to adopt in this name as a single mum? Or do I actually change, go back? You know, what do I do? Really struggled with that for a little while. And actually, we found out, because some very wise people sitting over there just went, have you actually looked at what it means? And I went, no, why would I do that? Just, it's French origin, that's fine. And actually, it means settlement under the protection of God, which is what we do. So all those years ago, we're talking 20, 21 years ago almost, actually God gave me a new name without me realising its significance. So God has a plan, and he just weaves it through, and sometimes he doesn't reveal what it is until the right moment, and that was a wow moment. So, yes.
That is a total wow moment.
Yes.
And the encouragement that we can take from that is that God knows every single detail. He is so intricate in the way that he weaves the strands of our lives together, and I remember that just being such an encouragement to you in that moment. In fact, it totally blew you away.
It did.
And hearing it again, it's blown me away. So really encouraged by that. So coming to a close, as we look ahead to the coming year, I think what we always want to do in church is to neatly package something. This is before, this is after, thank you God, faith journey done, right? But I know that the truth is that the fulfillment of this promise is actually just, it's like stage one in your faith journey, and that there are so, so, so many more things now that you're having to walk out as a result of the fulfillment of that promise. So what do things look like for you and your family, and what are you very much still navigating in terms of your faith journey?
So the practicalities, we've got, we're waiting the adoption order to go through. So that's obviously prayer point if you fancy it, because that would be really great for my daughter as well, so that she knows it's a definite forever. That's quite a significant thing at the moment. We're obviously blending a family. So I have a birth son who's 18, just gone off to university, and we're navigating that and navigating how we all work together as a family when he comes in and comes out and things like that. So that's tricky. If you've ever done blending families, that's a tricky thing. And trying to be the best that each of us can be in that journey. So that's our biggest challenge at this moment. We still have a spare room, which is significant and interesting.
Ooh, okay.
So that's the one that's on the back burner, and it's quite interesting that both young people have actually voiced, well, are we going to adopt again? I went, well, I thought this was a one-time deal. So I have no idea. I was a one-time deal God moment. So, you know, there's still a huge amount that God's promised. On many levels. So I think it's just doing it daily and just waking up and going, okay, what are you presenting with me today, God? And how do I navigate that best? Because I don't think whether you have a birth family, whether you have an adoptive or fostered family, or whether you have no family of younger people, actually we just have to do the best that we're presented with that day and actually invite God into that. And I think that's the key thing for me. It's if I have too many images of what it might be, actually that can be really disappointing in itself. But actually, if you just say, right, okay, God, I definitely have today because I've woken up, great. What can I do that is best today?
That is brilliant.
So
That's brilliant.
Day by day, breathe.
Thank you so much to you, and also to Josh, actually, for sharing your journey, because I know that he's been part of this journey since the beginning. So I just want to say a big thank you. It's really brave to share that story. But before you go, wouldn't it be great to pray for these guys? Shall we do that, church? Yeah, let's give them a round of applause to you. Why don't you stretch out your arms with us? Lord, we just want to thank you so much for this beautiful household. We thank you, God, that 2018 has been the year of fulfillment of a long-awaited promise. And as family, we rejoice in that. We rejoice that they have received the gift of a beautiful little girl into their home. And Lord, we thank you for every part of the process that led to that. We thank you that even in the moments where Rachel felt despair or like walking away or giving up, at just the right time, God, not too early and not too late, you would bring people alongside her to encourage her, or you would reveal something fresh to her that was a game changer. And Lord, we want to pray that as these guys step into 2019, that you would continue to provide everything that they need, that they would lack no resource, whatever that might be, Lord, whether it's financial, whether it's people power, whether it's prayer power, whether it's breakthrough in a work setting or in a school setting or in a university setting. We want to pray, God, that every time they call on your name, you would be exactly who you are and prove yourself faithful time and time and time again. But I pray also, Lord, that you'd show us as a church family how we can become those who not only spot people who are navigating huge faith journeys as a family, but we would be those who lift their arms practically and spiritually, that we would be those who come alongside and we don't just, you know, put them in a box of that's done and dusted, but actually, Lord, we look and say, how can we continue to be part of this ongoing story? And for many others, Lord, who will embark on this same journey, whether it's fostering or adoption, Lord, we want to be a church who learn how to walk alongside them and support them in that, both on a Sunday morning at church, but Lord, in the highs and lows of every day and minute by minute. So Lord, if you're prompting us to be part of that solution, whether that's in prayer or in practical ways, maybe we could cook a meal, maybe we could actually just come and help clean or tidy or decorate. Lord, whatever it is that we can do, I pray you'd be prompting us now. Amen. Thank you so much, Rachel. I'm just going to interrupt proceedings because my daughter has been very patiently waiting to show me a picture she's done, and I just need to acknowledge that. So without further ado, I would love to invite the wonderful Aaron Forbes-John to the platform to share some of his story. Looking resplendent in orange today. Come on up. Just hold it nice and close. How are you doing? How was Christmas for you, Aaron?
Yeah, it was, wow, that is loud. it was good. It was restful. It was good.
Good. I mean, restful is good.
I mean, yeah, restful was great.
Not actually always the case with a three-year-old in tow, is it?
No, but Ava's a bit of a teenager. She likes to sleep in, so
she
usually wakes up at like 9 or 10. So yeah, it's great. It's really restful.
Looks like we're conducting this interview together this awesome morning. Aaron, I really wanted to chat with you today, and thank you for being willing to share some of your journey over 2018, because it's a really great contrast, actually, to what we've heard from Rachel. I feel like with Rachel, she's had years of the internal process, and then this year has been boom, you know, that we've seen the external outcomes. But for you, this has very much been a year of God working on all of the internals, and as yet, you haven't necessarily seen the external outcomes change. And I really wanted you to share that, because I would say that probably a load of us sitting in this room, myself included, will really be able to identify with that. So I know that at the start of 2018, you had a very clear goal for your life. You had a dream.
And you are a professional musician, so you were working in the music industry. But this year has been a process of major heart change for you. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that process has looked like?
Yeah, so this year has been... the Lord has really kind of knocked down some idols in my life. And as you said, yeah, professional musician, so music was just my life. It was what I put all my energy into, more specifically playing the guitar. That's my instrument. So I kind of built these idols up of music, guitar, and my career. And they can seem like just one thing, but the Lord showed me that they were separate things, and he's dealt with them separately. And it kind of took me having a fantastic 2017 of God answering like so many of my prayers, traveling to all these countries, working with amazing artists. It kind of took him answering that, and then me having a year of disappointment and things not going my way, tours being like pulled out from underneath my feet like days before, just loads of disappointment for me to really realize that, I don't know, my joy can't be found in my career. It can't be found in music. It can't be found in the guitar. That one sustainable thing, that source of joy, is God. And that was hard for me to understand because my mood was always linked to work. If I was working with sick people, I'm happy. Like, I'm the happiest guy.
Just to clarify for the older generation, sick people, he doesn't mean ill people, all right? Just thought I'd translate that for you. he means really great people.
Great people, yeah. I didn't even realize I said that. Sorry. And it was my mood was linked to that, and I found so much joy in being busy and, you know, just like being that guy, which means being really cool.
So what did that mean when you weren't that guy? Like when the calls weren't coming in?
It's a great use of the term, that guy, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
When I wasn't that guy, when I was, you know, work wasn't going the way I wanted it to, I felt low, I felt disappointed, I felt frustrated. And in a weird way, I kind of like took out on God in weird ways, kind of just, I don't know, my attitude towards prayer and towards my relationship with God changed when things didn't go my way. And that's because, you know, He wasn't the source. You know, my source was work. It was my career. It was music. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's an amazing revelation to have. And I know that towards the middle of the year, a whole group of us went to New Wine. Didn't we have a great time?
Yes. All the family.
It was so
good.
Yeah. And you had, well, you didn't just have one encounter with God, actually. Most nights you were forward for prayer, and either you or Jen were just, you know, having an amazing moment with God.
Yeah.
But he spoke to you there, didn't he, about some really significant things in your heart and your life. So could you just outline a bit more about what happened?
Sure. So at New Wine, kind of went into it thinking, my questions to God were, do you still want me in this industry? Because I thought I was there to be salt and light in the music industry. I thought, you know, God would put me on all the major stuff and in the faces of so many people to be salt and light. So I'm going into it. I'm like, Lord, do you still want me to do this? Yes or no? And he's like, I don't really want to deal with that at New Wine. He wanted to deal with other things. He wanted to deal with my attitude towards money, generosity, and also just like my relationship with him. And it's funny how like the thing we think is the most important that we want God to deal with, to him is just like, that's not really where we want to go now.
That is
like,
so true.
I want to deal with something else in your heart that may then have a ripple effect on the thing that you're concerned about. So that's what it was like for us. You know, there was, when I went up for prayer one night, someone had a word for me and they just said, you know, God understands and he knows that money for you is tight. He knows that, you know, you think logically about things and strategically, and you want to kind of, you know, when you have a little bit, you want to just hold on to it and kind of like just not be generous, because you know that if I give here and I give there, then we're not going to be okay as a family. But God was like, I understand that and I know that's hard for you, but I've got you. Like, just be generous, just give.
Wow.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And that kind of, that changed a lot for me over that period of time, that summer.
So you came back and you had that revelation about being generous, and
I guess you had in your mind's eye that God having dealt with that stuff in your heart around money, that you would see a whole heap of breakthrough. But I know that the next part of the story is that you didn't see that immediately at all, did you?
No. And this is where, like, I was seeing God as a bit of a genie in a bottle. It was kind of, you know, I expected, you know, because I got this word from God and I understood it and I was like, wicked. So the breakthrough is going to happen right now. And we came back and we had quite a difficult summer in terms of money. Our business wasn't doing fantastically well over the summer. And we were short. We were short of money. We had to pay our rent. And the only thing I had to kind of make money with was my instrument, my guitar. So I was thinking, all right, God, we're going to wait. We trust you. We've had a great summer. We know you're going to come through for us. Day before, he's not come through. So I'm like, well, what's going on? And in the end, I had to sell my guitar to pay our rent. And it was hard because, you know, some people might just think that's just your guitar. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just a thing. But, like, that's an extension of me. That's, like, my livelihood. That's the thing that I've worked hard for to get and took pride in. And it was hard for me to have to let that go and also to then still love God, like, the same way I did when I was having an encounter. Because it's like, why would you let that happen to me, you know? But, yeah, that was hard. That was hard.
What a cost. What a cost of walking in the stuff that he showed you whilst you were away at New Wine, having heard his voice and expecting it to look one way and ending up selling that very thing which to you represented identity, purpose, calling. That must have been heartbreaking and so, so costly. But I know that the journey of heart change for you didn't stop. And actually, even just being willing to sell that guitar is such an indication of how much God had done in your heart. I think all of us sitting here will be able to identify with that. But God carried on asking you to say yes to him, didn't he? And to be obedient to his voice. And he also showed you some really cool stuff in the process. So tell us more about that.
Yes, so when we got back from New Wine after the whole guitar drama thing, we felt like the Lord was saying to us that I should kind of relax and let go of the pursuit of being a session guitarist, a professional guitar player, and just focus on our business, which would, you know, then see that grow and hopefully our income can grow and we won't be in that financial position again. But also it would mean that I'd be home more, I'd have a better home life. And we were like, yeah, let's do it. Like, we're in that place of just saying yes. So let's go, God. Let's get on this thing. But I still wanted to honor the yeses that I'd said before. So people that, you know, wanted me to work for them, I said yes. And we found that wherever there was lack from, you know, my salary from the business, God always had those little pockets of work that would always, you know, link over and still be able to see us through. And also in that time, I just felt like I began to take ownership of the roles I had taken up within the life of the church. So serving under Lindsay, serving under Jen, I was beginning to see it less of like I'm just here as another body to make up someone else that serves on the team, and being like, no, these are my young people, these are my kids, and I want to see
them.
Yeah, I want to see them grow. I want to get the best out of them, and I want you to enjoy church the way I didn't enjoy church growing up. So,
wow. So, actually, in the laying down of some of those big, what you classified as idols, dreams, goals, whatever it might be, actually you found joy in some of the other things that you're committed to in a new way, which is amazing. I suppose my final question for you is, what do you feel you've learned this year? How have you grown? And thinking about our vision as a church for this coming year, which is all about being closer, deeper, and going further with God, how could you encourage people in terms of your journey and as we enter this coming year as a church? What encouragement could you offer to us?
So firstly, what I've learned from this year is that don't take yourself too seriously, first of all, because...
Good advice.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is I tied my career and the thing I love to who I am. And I took that seriously, very seriously. Like, I took that as being, you know, a bit of a life sentence. It was like, I'm going to do this thing forever. and I want to do this thing forever. And to be honest, I don't really want God to get involved in it because it's my thing. And I learned this year that obviously that's just not the way life goes. And I can't be defined by the one thing I'm passionate about. There's more within all of us that God wants to draw out. So I would say my encouragement would link with that. And it's just let God into every area of your life. Don't hold things away from him. Don't keep those things you love in a box, because God might want to get into that box and he might want to just make that box even bigger, but you won't know because you keep it to yourself. And that's what I did. I kept it to myself. I didn't want to let him in. And all he was wanting to do was just say, that box is great. What you want is great. It's good. It's cool. But I've got something greater for you. I've got something bigger and of more depth and meaning. So my encouragement would be, yeah, just let God into every area of your life.
Wow. It's good advice, isn't it? You know, one of the things that I've been really encouraged by in this whole process that you have been on is the fact that very recently you were auditioned and are now part of the worship team. And we've been able to be blessed by that gift on a Sunday morning. But I feel like the journey that you've been on is so significant, because for us as a church, being 24/7 worshippers wherever we are, carrying his presence in every context, not aspiring to platforms, but actually just allowing God to cause us to be a gift wherever we are. You've kind of been, your life has been a prophetic outworking of that. And so the moment that you stood to play your instrument on this stage here and bless us, I just felt like it was such an outpouring of costly worship to God, and amazing. And there's a different dimension to that worship than just, you know, that effortless, well, I'm a musician and I know all the chords. Of course you do, but it came from this heart posture that's just so beautiful, and it just ties in so amazingly with our values, both as a worship team, but as a church. So we really want to honour and commend you for that, Aaron, because people can see our musicians on a Sunday morning, and you can make all sorts of assumptions. You might feel that they're performing, or you might feel that they just want to be heard, or they just love to play. But for every single person that stands on this platform, I can assure you that there is a process behind closed doors of costly, extravagant, sacrificial worship that's taking place. And it's great for us as a church sometimes to hear that, because what we can just see is the gift, but actually we don't see that to present that gift to Jesus, there has been so much sacrifice in the process. So shall we pray for Aaron today? Let's stretch out our hands. Lord, we thank you for this incredible man of God. We thank you, God, that he has wisdom beyond his years. We thank you more than anything for the beauty of his heart. Lord, that he is teachable, that he is willing to say yes to you even when it costs, even when he doesn't understand. And Lord, that even though this has been such a hard year in so many ways, he can stand and tell us this morning of your faithfulness. And he can tell us that you are worth all of the sacrifice that he's made and more. And Lord, that even though in the physical you have reduced everything into a place of confinement, in the spiritual he has never felt so broad and so expanded as he does now, and that can only be you. So we want to say yes and amen to everything that you're doing in his life, and we pray, God, that as he steps into a new year, that you would just continue to help him to walk in tandem with you, and Lord, to see your fingerprints all over his faith journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Aaron, so much. So we can't just stop there, because there's a reason that we've heard two incredible stories today. And that's because in the sharing of testimony, actually, we come to understand that we all have a story that is valuable, that we are all making a journey into the unknown. And there are moments where Jesus just wants to sidle up alongside us and bring heart revelation. And so we're going to take a few moments together. We're going to find somebody that's sitting next to us, maybe a family member, someone we trust, or someone that we've never met before. And we're going to take some time just to talk and discuss
things that have happened to us this year, maybe things that we don't understand, maybe things that we're thankful for, maybe moments that God has revealed something new to us. And we're then going to pray together for the year that's ahead. And we're going to pray not for the big dreams, actually. I feel like we do that almost every year, and I'm not trying to belittle that. But our vision this year for us as a church, it's not for all the singing and dancing outward things. It's that through the process, wherever God leads us, we would end up at the end of this year closer to Him, having gone deeper into His word and understanding the depth of His heart and His character like never before, and then being willing to be sent further wherever He chooses to send us. It may not be geographically further, but further in faith than we have ever stepped out before for Him. And if we have done those three things as individuals this year, then corporately for our city and for our nation and for the nations, I know it will be transformational. So let's just take 5 minutes or so just to unpack some of the highs and lows of this year together, and then to spend some time praying with one another.